Shall we pray together? Our Father and our God, we give you all the praise for giving us another opportunity to gather this year for the laborers' convocation. We thank you, God, for the help that we have received over the years, even as we gather year in and year out, seeking your understanding and your help, praying for a divine visitation in our day. And we thank you, God, that that day has come, the day that you have declared, you have set another day. So, Lord, this morning, we are asking that the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom and give us light, and that none of us we miss out in this new day that you have opened and in this time of divine visitation. We ask, O God, that the Spirit of truth will come upon us in a very definite way. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We look unto you, O God, for your word to come to us. Let it come to us with simplicity, and at the same time, let it come to us with grace. Let it mix with faith in our hearts. Those, O God, whom you came to, and the word did not mix with faith in their hearts, they're the one that perished in the wilderness. Please undertake for us this time and help us to walk in the light of your will. Thank you for each one of us at this critical point. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I'd like to thank God for the time God has given us to gather together for this year's Laborers' Convocation. And as we have been coming over the years, and this meeting had run for several years, and we have been seeking God's face at various points. But we thank God that in the past few years, 2-3 years ago, there is a clear understanding in our spirit that our day, our time of divine visitation has come. I would like to read some few passages this morning before we settle on what we need to begin to respond to as individuals in this new day that God has declared. Now, let's read Luke 19. We'll read Luke 19. And in Luke 19, I'd like you just to note one thing before we go on from here. In Luke 19, in verse 41, the Bible says, when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon you that thine enemy shall cast a trench about you and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay you even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Now, that's the first critical verse that I want to ask you to look at just before this morning, if I go ahead, that God set a day of divine visitation. God set a day in which God decides to have mercy on people, in which he begins to walk his great work in their midst. and in their lives and in their land. But it is very, very dangerous to be unaware when your day of divine visitation, when your day of God's visit comes and you are not aware of it. It becomes dangerous that when God comes up to speak, to do a new thing in a man's life, he doesn't know about it. So the first thing we want to deal with and pray with ourselves is that, Lord, this new dawn, don't allow me to be ignorant of it. Don't allow me not to know what belongs to my peace. Say, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. Now we're going to be praying, Lord, the things that belong to my peace, the things that I ought to do in this day of my visitation, Father, help me not to miss that. Even though we are talking of a new dawn, and we're expecting that by the grace of God, it will be overwhelming the whole earth. It will touch different people, different places, different situations. Yet, one thing that we must not forget is that the new dawn is as important to individuals as to all of us corporately. So while you are needing to be understanding what God wants to do, it is important that you as an individual must know what this meant for you. So if I were going to put what I want to say this morning together as a theme, I would like to say a new dawn for your life. A new dawn for your personal life. Whatever we are going to talk about, great revival is only relevant if it revives your life. Great revival, world revival, global revival is only useful when you personally, you are in it. When you know what God wants to do at this time, and you are able to partake of it, you are able to take your space in it, that's when it becomes your own revival. And so the Lord Jesus was saying, if you have known, he was sweeping over the city. And he's saying, if you have known, even thou, at least in this day, in this your day. So I want you to look at that verse very closely. He said, if you had known, even you, at least in this your day, which means God allocates days for individuals, days for a people, days for a land, days for a nation. And so we need to first of all recognize that God may be talking about a new dawn personally for you first and foremost. And it is what happens to your life in this your day that will determine your position in the new dawn, your position in the move of God, your position in the things that God is declaring at this time. So you must not see it as an onlooker or as an observer. Each one of us must, at least in this your day, and that's what the first touch me, that he said, at least in this your day, as if God is saying, I particularly came for you. I particularly decide to visit you. I particularly set out this day, this your day. If you have known, the things which belong to your peace. If you have known the things that pertain to your peace in this your day, then it would have been wonderful. And when he used the word at least, so if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, the things that belong to your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you. Now, what it means is that if a man misses his day, he passes into a terrible night. He passes into a very, very complicated night. And the troubles that come when a man misses his own day of divine touch, of divine visitation, can be terrible. So for the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you do not know the time of your visitation. See what God is saying? Because you do not know the time of your visitation. So the first challenge that is very critical that I need to deal with this morning for those of you that are gathered is for you to keep noting that each one of us, God set up days in which to do something deliberate in your life. God said days in which to visit you as an individual. God set up days in which to walk in your life, in which to give you personal victory, in which to answer the prayers that you have been crying to him. Now, just as I'm talking about you personally, it could be for a people. And we have been praying for years, and we have said ourselves we want revival. But how terrible it is that when that day, the day that God has allocated for us, even as a group of people, comes, we don't know what we ought to do that will make for our peace. We don't know how to engage the new dawn. And the devil is wicked at the time when we should have understood that, this is our day of divine visitation. We might be doing useless things. We find ourselves divided and distracted. We find ourselves fighting useless battles with our day. And it can be so painful that God will give a day to you, a day that we have prayed and waited and cried unto God for. And when it comes, you don't know it. He said, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side. Which means when a man has missed his own day, when a people have missed their day, when a land has missed its own day of visitation, when the opportunity of divine visitation has come and gone, then that person or that set of people or that land or that city or that nation, they enter into a period of darkness. They enter into a period of difficulty. Therefore, days will come. And you know, when he said days will come, I was such again that he didn't say, but a day will come. Which means, for one day that you missed, there will be days of sorrow. There will be days of confusion. There will be days of darkness. There will be days of terrible challenges. So the first thing we want to note is, what must you do not to miss this day? What must you as an individual, because when we say, oh, the new dawn, if it was just to be hanging in the air and we're just making that announcement, it would be something else. But that it each one of you that must recognize it. If you don't recognize this your day, then it will be lost. Then it will be wasted. Then you will not know how to maximize it. So that's the first burden that is coming on my heart this morning. Perhaps if I go a little, the Lord might allow us to go further. But if not, we will do that this morning and begin to pray. And in the evening, we'll pick it up from there. But permit me to note with you that everyone that participated in a day of divine visitation, the first thing is that they were not ignorant of it. So if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that made for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And that was why the day that God opened to them did not benefit them. That was why the day that God set for them, they did not make the most of it. And a new dawn is coming again. God is declaring a new day. God is declaring a new beginning. God say, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. God is speaking about that. He has said it over and over again. And now we know that with every confirmation in our spirit, that we are coming to that season when God wants to do what he says, when God wants to move by his mighty hand and power, when God wants to draw men to himself and bring about his glory in the land of the living. Yet God speaks to individuals like this, and God speaks to a people like this. And so the first thing we are going to be looking at, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. We are going to pray, don't let my eyes be closed. Don't let me be preoccupied with useless things. You know, sometimes when your day comes, you may be preoccupied with the old routines, the things you used to do when there was no light, when there was no visitation. And you may continue to do the kind of things that was what happened to the children of Israel. Let's look at what happened to the children of Israel. In the book of John, chapter 1, I want all of you to quickly come to John, chapter 1. In John, chapter 1, you will see how the word of God began to speak about something terrible that happened to them. And I just pray that you will have an understanding. In John chapter 1, all of you, in verse 9. Okay, I better begin from verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to be a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That all men through him might believe. The same came. I mean, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But, yes. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, what does that mean? You see, those of them that have been reading scriptures, who have followed biblical prophecies, even their scribes, they have the books. They have stored it. In fact, there are prophecies upon prophecy upon prophecies about the coming of a day. They have referred to it as the day star. Said the day star had visited us on earth. And this continued such that when John the Baptist was to be born, the prophecy that the angel brought about the announcement of his birth was talking about the day star coming. And that John the Baptist was to be born to herald the coming of this Messiah that they have been waiting for. Now, when John the Baptist was born, there was a very clear testimony, and suddenly as he began to speak, the heart of people were turning. But John the Baptist kept saying, I have been sent. I'm not the one. I am not that man. I was just sent so that he might be revealed to Israel. I'm baptizing so that it can be revealed to the people. And all those things were happening, and Jesus came actually, and he was baptized. And it was revealed in the announcement, this is my son, this is the man, this is the one you should look at. But then the Bible said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You see the trouble I was looking at in Luke 19. He said, if thou, at least in this your day, have known what belongs to your peace, but now it has been hidden from your eyes. So even though he came to his own, but his own, they did not know him and they did not receive him. They received him not. That's why what could have been a great move for their lives, what could have turned everything around, what could have changed their destiny, did not happen to them. And that was why the Bible said, but as many as received him. Which means, why majority did not know? Why majority became ignorant of this new day that has happened? This new thing that has happened? Oh my God. Many of them did not. The only few people that saw it and believed, the Bible said, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, and not of the will of man, but of God. So, what are we noting here? We are noting that actually, it is possible for men who have waited and waited and waited and waited, like several of us have been waiting for revival. We've been waiting for divine visitation. It is possible that now that God is declaring, you might not even be part of it because you didn't know, you become ignorant, or you did not know what makes for your peace, and you find yourself doing useless things. You are getting involved in things that are already routine when the real thing we are waiting for has come. So in this meeting, we are going to spend time to pray. We are going to be saying, oh God, and if this is the new dawn for which I've waited, for which my life has been tied around the altar, for which I came into discipleship in preparation for it, let me not miss out. Let me not be involved in anything useless. Let me not find myself fighting useless battles instead of entering into what God has provided. Do you remember that in Luke, when Jesus Christ was born, I'm just stressing one issue here, knowing the day of your own visitation, the new dawn for your own life, how you must maximize it, how you must not miss what God has to say at this critical time. Now, I want you to look at what happened
what was the news that they got in Luke chapter 2 when he was born? In Luke chapter 2, I want you to look at what the angels and the shepherds, what they said. I'll read Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Take note, there were in the same country, that country where God is visiting, that country where God was giving a fresh newness, a new day, because all prophecies are prophesied about the coming of Jesus, and everybody knew that when he comes, that will be the Messiah. Books have been kept, prophecies have been said, and there are scribes who have been studying prophecy ever since. But unfortunately, in that same country, said there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to how many people? To all people. That particular visitation was meant for all people. And it will be a tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lie in a manger. What was going to be the joy of the whole world, the turnaround for the old generations of men, was wrapped in a small babe. You need the eye of understanding, you need the eye of revelation to see what is going to become a worldwide global move of God, but presently wrapped in a very small something. And it will look as, oh, can this become a global move of God? Can this become the thing we are waiting for? Sometimes because the revival or the new dawn breaks forth in an obscure place with obscure people, with people that you don't expect. And suddenly, but if you don't have an eye to know that, the thing that for which you have been praying has already begun. The unstoppable move that we have been waiting for has already begun. If you can't see it, you may find yourself going about now to dig your own broken cistern. You may find yourself making another way for yourself. The Bible said, the people having been ignorant of what God came to do in Christ Jesus, they went about setting up their own way of righteousness. It is possible that a new dawn has come, but because you are ignorant that this is what we are looking at, this is what we are waiting for, this is what God has spoken to us about, you may find yourself doing something else. You may find yourself even setting up your ministry contrary to what you should have flowed in, what should have flowed with, what God should have allowed you to throw your life into. You may find yourself now holding back and trying to do something different. I want to ask you to be deliberate. God should have to deliberate and be careful and be prayerful and say, Lord, this new dawn, I must not miss out. I must not be found to be doing something contrary or something on the side, which is not what you want to accomplish at this time. The Bible said, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, you know, as I look at that scene, I say, wow. The heavens, the heavenly hosts, They came down, they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. This thing which has come to pass. That's to say that even them, they know that this thing is going to happen. But now when it happened and God allowed them to see it, they said, let's quickly go and be part of it. And thank God. Thank God. They quickly came to Jerusalem. And they came with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They made known abroad the saying which was to them concerning this child. And all they that had it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now you see, what am I saying? Each one of us, God gives us a day. God gives us a time of divine visitation, a time of divine touch, a time when God is changing your gloom, when God is removing all your narrowness and is bringing you to a place where you can fulfill the call of God, the destiny that God has for your life. He's bringing you to a point where the Holy Spirit is saying, this is that thing which I've been speaking to you about. Now, these shepherds, thank God they did not miss their own. They went quickly. They began to glorify God. And as far as they are concerned, there's something in their lives. There's a revival that came to them. They said they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, and as it was told them. Now, you will see that there's another man that was waiting for the manifestation of that day. And as you go further in the same book of Luke, I'm just trying to show you that individuals must recognize this new dawn for their own lives. If you don't recognize it, you will miss out. He came to his own, but they did not know. And because they did not know, their day passed them. Their opportunity passed them. What they should have become with the visitation did not happen to them. Rather, they entered into a bigger confusion, a bigger darkness in their lives. All because they did not know. At least in this your day, they did not know. Now, look at Luke chapter 2 still. I'm still in Luke chapter 2. I feel I should spend this morning preparing you for that before we come to deal with other things to do. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Now, we are told in that chapter 2, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of Moses were accomplished, Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every maid that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Right. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and all of that they did. But now verse 25 is where I'm going. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting. Look at what he was waiting for. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he has seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple that day. And when the parent brought in the child Jesus to do for him, after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, again, I want you to listen. It was just a child that they brought. This child was just a few weeks old, just a baby. And they brought him to be offered to the Lord according to the law. But this man, we are told, he had been praying, he had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. Many of us, we have spent years. I must tell you that some of us, it is more than 40 years that we have been waiting, we have been praying, we have been seeking God, we have been learning about revival, we have been preparing ourselves. The entire discipleship program that we started was to prepare men for this, is to raise vessels that God will use, is to raise men that will be like Jesus, that will carry the life of Christ, so that what God wants to do in the end time, they are available for it. If you have been dragged into discipleship at any level, this is the reason. If your discipleship did not end in your becoming a vessel to spread the fire of revival, then it has been a waste. If we have gathered from meeting upon meeting, reading scriptures, studying and wanting to be disciple in order to be ready for the master's use, and now the master has come and you did not know it, wow, that's a very great waste. So you are going to pray and say, Lord, the things that make for my peace, the things that I must do now in this new day, the things that I must engage myself in this new day, don't let it elude me. Don't let me miss out on it. Don't allow me to do something useless. Don't allow me to be involved in things that are not consequential in this day of my visitation. Now, look at what that man said. The Bible said, while he prayed and prayed and prayed, God assured him by the Holy Ghost that he will not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. I'm not sure they invited him, but the Spirit moved me and said, now the thing you have been waiting for is about to happen, and I want you to go and handle it. Now the Bible said he came in by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Suddenly he realized that in my hand, the thing that I've been waiting for, the things that I've been fasting and waiting on God for has come. How I pray that several of you sitting in this meeting, and particularly those brothers who have been coming along with us for several years, I pray that you will suddenly see that, in our hand, what we have been crying for, what we have been seeking God to do has come. We said severally that when the Lord will come, this thing will break down the boundaries. Denominational barriers will be broken. It will enter into different churches. It will belong to the body of Christ. The brethren will carry it everywhere. Nobody will be able to label it. Nobody will be able to stop it. Nobody will be able to hinder it. It's going to flow everywhere. God had given us space to describe what this new day will look like. Now it has come. Now we are at it now. We are at the threshold of it. And this man was standing at the beginning of it. The shepherds, they went and saw it when it was still wrapped in a swaddling cloth. But they saw that this is the joy for all people. This is what is going to become the whole world. They saw something that began in their eyes, but they saw that the scope of it is not limited to themselves. Now I pray that what seems to be starting little in our midst now, what God is beginning to do, and you are thinking, ah, maybe it's still our program. Maybe it's still the laborers' convocation we did for years. Not knowing that we have entered into a new beginning, a new dawn of what God wants to do. We have entered into something that God is releasing, and it's going to be all over the nations. Going to be all over the earth. It's going to affect everywhere. It's going to change terrain of things. It's going to bring in the manifestation of the Lord in the second coming of Christ. We know that this thing that is happening in our hands now, it is still wrapped in a swaddling cloth. It is something that looks small, that we can handle in our hand. But you need a revelation that this is the day. This is the new thing. This is the new beginning that God is bringing us into. Now the man stood up. He said, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, why he does that, he could see the scope, he could see the dimension of what God wants to do, he could see what is beginning. He saw, he said, ah, I have seen the Lord, I've seen the salvation of the Lord, I've seen the glory of the Lord. Unfortunately, in the same country, there are people that have not seen it. Unfortunately, in the same congregation, there are people that only saw him as a carpenter's boy. There are people that just saw him as a carpenter's child. And all they did to him was they treated him as a mere boy. They say his brothers are here, his sisters are here with us, and we know him. He's Joseph's son. They couldn't see anything. Some of you might still be thinking, oh, this is Brother Gbile's program. This Brother Afam's meeting. You are making a big mistake now. You have to be very careful. This is not about any of us. This is not us. This is the Lord at work. And you need to settle your heart down right now. This is not what any of us can control. It must break forth. It must enter everywhere. It must affect people. It will affect students. It will affect lecturers. It will affect business people. It will affect pastors. It will affect the clergy. It will affect everywhere. It will affect politicians. And so there is need for each one of you to settle down in your heart and take away narrowness from your heart and say, oh God, if you are involving me in this, I must not miss my own day of visitation. I must not be out of what you are doing. Nothing must keep me out of what you are doing and where you are going at a time like this. So you can see that that man stood up. He held it by his arms and began to speak again. But for him, I'm not sure he was going to go beyond seeing the beginning of it. He was not going to become a disciple of it. What God wanted him to see, he had seen the beginning of it, and he was now going to go and sleep. He said, now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. That was all right. There are brothers who have labored, and they have come to the threshold of this. And God is saying, yes, you have done well. You go and sleep now. That's all right. That's all right. But there are some that God is saying, you are going to be a disciple of this. You are going to be a carrier of this. You are going to go to all the nations of the earth with this. You are going to be a custodian of this. Now get ready to know what belongs to your peace in this move of God that the Holy Ghost is declaring. Now you see another woman. I decided to help you see that when there are a new dawn, what was happening at this time is a new dawn. It was a new day, it's a new beginning that people waited for years. People prophesied about it for years. People labored in prayers for it for years. But unfortunately, when it came, many did not know that this is what they were waiting for. Now, look at that woman now. We are told in verse 36. Please go with me to verse 36. I finished with all that Brother Simeon had to say. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. She had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, listen to me. Look at that sister Hannah. She had been fasting and praying. Say she has served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She was a widow of about 84 years. She only stayed with her husband 7 years. And after that, she decided that I'm not marrying again. She gave herself to fasting and prayers, and we're told night and day for all the years. What was she looking for? She was looking for the redemption of Israel. So she began to speak also, prophesy, and say, we thank God. This is the song. But again, they were carrying just a baby in their hand, but they have eyes to see it. Whereas he came to his own. Many are scribes, many are Pharisees. They read. They even knew when he was to be born, where he was to be born. But when he was born, they did not see it. So, brothers and sisters, two things I challenge you with this morning as we begin is to say to you that knowledge about revival is not the same about being in revival. Studies that were made about revival, ability to describe revival, ability to speak about revival is not the same as seeing and being in a revival movement. Revival movement is a great privilege that God grants people. And when God allows you to be part of one, you dare not miss it, because you may never be part of another if you miss this one. So we are not talking about theories now. We are talking about what then must we do that make for our peace. What must we do so that we don't lose out on the things that God had begun to say and begun to do in our day and in our time? Let me pick one more thing before I return to, so what must we do as individuals? How should we respond so that we don't miss what God is saying at this time? Now, let's go to Luke chapter 4. I told you that even John was baptizing in order for Jesus to be revealed. Now, this is now about 30 years. This is about now 30 years after the chapter that we have been reading. After chapter 2, we are now in chapter 4, and it's about 30 years. This thing that we are talking about was born 30 years ago. Those that have eyes to see, they saw it 30 years behind and say, ah, the revival has come. The visitation on earth has come. The day star has come to us. 30 years, they have seen that. And they have declared it, and they were already rejoicing. But you see, it was growing. It was blossoming. It was waxing strong in spirit. It was in favor with God, with men. You see, so I want you to note that revival grows. Divine visitation, to note that revival grows. And growth may begin small, but you know, as it is growing, waxing strong, waxing strong, waxing strong, waxing strong, we need to follow it. We need to understand that, yes, some of us, we saw something years ago that set us on, and we have been growing along with it. And the time for the outburst has now come. The time for its full manifestation is now here. And that's why, by the grace of God, you are seeing things that is, you know, blooming all over the earth. And you are saying, ah, so this thing will be like this. So this thing will become like this. So this thing will go to this extent. So this thing will move to that area. So this thing will happen. Yes, we saw that it will happen. That's why we laid down our lives waiting on God for it. But now that the new dawn, the new day has opened, what must we do is the key issue. I'm taking one more point before I return to what I intend for us to deal with this morning. Now, in Luke 4, and I don't want to talk about the temptation of Jesus and all of that. I just want you to come to verse 17. Let me start from 16. And he came to Jerusalem where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasting on him. I will tell you what is happening there now. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said to them, you will say, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have had done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, except to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And there are many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. For he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Now, what is that? What is that? Two things that I wanted to note. Here was Jesus. He had been in their midst for 30 years. He had grown in their very eyes. But they do not know the purpose. They do not know that is the answer to the cry of the nations. They do not know that this thing that started in their midst in a small manner is the answer, is the solution, is God's visitation upon the whole earth. The shepherd saw it when it was wrapped, in cloth. The wise men saw him when he was lying in a manger. A man like Simeon carried him as a baby. Hannah, the prophetess, spoke about him when he was a little. They saw. But these people did not see. They only saw the carpenter's son. And so they treated him like that. But God was going to again set up another day for them to have an experience. And so on that particular day, Jesus went as usual to the temple to read as his normal custom was. They gave him something to read. He had been attending ordinary church service. So you see, when the new dawn comes, things will begin to erupt even in the ordinary church programs. Things will begin to happen even in ordinary meetings. Don't think that when the new dawn comes, it will be happening in one wilderness somewhere. So we saw that Jesus went. He had just been filled with the Holy Ghost. And he had conquered the devil in the wilderness. A voice has spoken about him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And all of that had been established. But there was need for the people in that land to recognize that this is the man. And so on that day, as he went, and they delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah spoke so much about the Messiah. Actually, the ministry of Isaiah changed when he saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6 and began from that time to speak about the Messiah that is coming. So when you look at the book of Isaiah, it's the book of the prophecy of the coming Messiah, actually. But now, as they gave him that portion to read, and I can see that he was reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And he said, and he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written. He fell on that place. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and all that. Now, if as he read it, the Bible said, as he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, something strange, something unusual happened. We are told that, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. As if something was tearing in the heart of people and said, the thing you read, this passage you read, it's very particular. It's a special passage. So he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day. For Jesus, he recognized his own day. He recognized that what I came for, what I have been preparing for 30 years, this day has come. This is the time. I can't sit down here anymore. From that moment, his work in the carpentry workshop of his father ended, because that's not what he came for. The business he came for, now it has happened. And as he began to speak, the Bible said they wondered, they marveled at the gracious words that was coming out of his mouth. And again they said, but is this not Joseph's son? They were beclouded. He came to his own, but they did not know that, this is our day. And then they began to, you know, challenge him. And they began to say, is he not Joseph's son? Why is he saying that this scripture is being fulfilled in our ears today? Who is he? Who is that? And then Jesus said, yes, I know you will surely say to me this proverb. I know you will say it. Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have done, we have had done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Make me see. And so he gave them something that was very profound. And I pray that all of you sitting here today, you will not miss your day of visitation. Now, what was it? He said, you will say this. No prophet accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, except to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Again, it is possible for you to sit at the center of revival, and you are missing out. It is possible for you to be interacting with what God himself has brought. Possible that you are listening to the word of God, you are touching something that is very serious, but you are casual about it. Because your heart is just, is it not that brother, is it not that sister? And you may be missing out on what should have been your own. And so the Bible said, even though there were many widows in Israel, God did not see any of them qualified. He sent his servant to Sarephath. And it was in Sarephath of Sidon, almost a Gentile lady. And God said again, even in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So let's be careful that what we waited for, what we cried for, what we prayed for, what we are studying for, what we are being discipled for, now it has come. Let it not be that you miss out. Let it not be that you are doing something different. Let it not be that you are not in the will of God concerning what God has declared to bring about in our day and in our time. Now, I would like now to look at, so what must we do? I saw that for Jesus, he recognized that this day, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down, it was important that others thought they were just making noise. Others thought they were just drunk with new wine. But Peter stood up and said, no, this is that which the prophet spoke about. The need to recognize your day is very important. That's the first thing to do, to recognize that this day is not casual. This day is not ordinary. This day is not just mere days of ordinary activities. This is the day that God is moving in his power again. This is the day that God is visiting the earth again. This is the day that God is bringing back all that he promised to do in the days of old. God is bringing it back to us. So what must be my own response? And Jesus noted it, and I want you to go back to the passage I started with. Luke chapter 19. In Luke 19, he said, if you, at least in this your day, if you knew the thing will belong to your peace, but now they are hidden from your own eyes. So let me take the first thing. What is the thing that belongs to your peace? That you must not waste time. You must not waste today. not to catch. What are the things that belong to your peace? And I would like to quickly read a scripture to you. I will come in the night to deal with what each one of us must make sure we don't miss. But this morning, I want you to look at what you need to do. Go with me to Hebrews. I'm going to read Hebrews to you, Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 3, and Hebrews chapter 4. I'll just pick one or two verses there, and then we shall talk about what you need to do. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that had him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So the first point, he said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Brothers and sisters, knowing that this is a new dawn, this is a new day that God has come to fulfill his promise, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The things that God has taken meticulous time to teach us, the things that we have heard continuously for several years, the issues that God had raised about personal victory over sin, personal victory over Mr. Flesh, this is the time to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. When he used the word at any time, that was touching, that people that fell out, it was just one little time something slipped out of their hands. People that missed out altogether, it's not that they have been missing out. It's just one time that the thing slipped out of their hands and they are no more. Can I ask you now to check what are the things that are already slipping out of your life? What are the personal consecration that you have already started to allow to slip out? What is that issue that God dealt with in your life? You knew that this is what God wants me to do. But quietly, over time, it's beginning to slip out of your hand. And sin, secret sin, is beginning to come back to you. Secret disobedience begin to come back to you. The Bible says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that had him? My dear brother, how are we going to escape? Despite all the things that God has taught you, several things that God had exposed you to, several issues that the Holy Spirit has spoken about, if you allow it to slip out of your hand, if you allow it to fall out of your hand, how shall we escape? Will you say you did not know? Will you say what God said to you, you did not remember it? How will you go back until your vomit? Now the day is breaking, and I want to ask you the first thing to do, now that We know that this is your day. Don't be in a wrong place in your day. Don't get involved in foolish things in this your day of visitation. This is the reason why God has set up, you know, a few years ago I was speaking at the laborers' convocation like this, and I said, the reason why God set us up, the reason why we went into elaborate, deliberate discipleship everywhere was because God said we must prepare men that will carry this fire. Because even if God opens the heaven and sends the rain, and there are no vessels, there are no containers, it will only give us erosion. And I trusted God that God has multiplied disciples here and there all over. And so if God decides now to open the windows, we should expect that there are enough hands that will carry it and go everywhere from village to village, from land to land, from office to office, from one profession to another. But the first thing for you as an individual is to make sure that the things that we have had, you must give more earnest heed to the things which we have had, that at any time they should slip out of your hand. The word slip, to me, is a very dangerous word. Something just like that. It just slip out of your hand, slip out of your life, just like that. Now, I'm going to be asking you to pray this morning. If you check in your life, say, am I not slipping off? Are things not slipping out of my life? Am I still as serious as when God arrested me? Am I still walking in the light of the truth as I used to? Am I still walking in the reality of the new Christian life? Am I just being about? Now, go to chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, because I intend to end soon so that we can spend time to pray and go for our Bible study. Now, in chapter 3, verse 7, wherefore, you know that I started the other one, it said, therefore, in chapter 2, the therefore is consequent of the fact that what we have been waiting for has now come. The new day that God has declared has now come. So wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. When God comes down to move, you don't harden your heart. You don't hide sin. You don't do anything that will give you away as one who is disobedient. Nothing to hide now. Even if there are issues that you have been struggling with, there are matters that you have been, unable to overcome in your life, this day is a day of opportunity. It's a day that God is saying, now, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Let that not be the testimony of God over your life. Let God not say you always err in your heart. Let God not say you are always prone to disobedience. Let God not have to say this girl, this brother is always there. No matter what we say, no matter how I wanted to help him, his heart is always derailing, it's always going back. Let that not be your testimony. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As far as I'm concerned, it's not anything if you will come before the Lord and say, God, now that my day has come, let this sin not hinder me. Let this sister, this girl, let it not be my undoing. Let this marriage that I say I'm entering into with someone that I'm not sure, an unbeliever, let it not be a hindrance to me. Lord, help me today. Let it not be this business that I've entered into, and it's compromising my faith, compromising my secret life, compromising my walk with God. Let it not be my hindrance. Lord, help me today. Lord, arise on my behalf today. Do something deliberate with my life in this time. Now, he said, because they hardened their hearts in the day of provocation, they made their lives until God said, no, they will not enter my rest. And for 40 years, they were now in 40 years of wilderness journey. They're now 40 years of night, 40 years of confusion, 40 years of up and down, 40 years, 40 years until they all died off. I said, when you miss a day of divine visitation, you may never get it again, because one day of visitation, when you miss it, you enter into many days of darkness, many days of problem, many days of confusion. This day God has opened to me and you, and today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. The first thing to do in order to maximize this new dawn is to be sure that, look, my life is congruent with the will of God. I am standing where I ought to stand. I am walking in the way that God wants me to walk. I am moving in the will of God for my life. That will be very important and very critical. Now the Bible said, but take it, brethren, let there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let there be no heart of unbelief in any of you. Let none of you harden your hearts. It doesn't matter. Maybe you thought it didn't matter for years, but now that it's God's day of visitation, it will matter much. He said, but exhort one another daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Make sure you are not hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Make sure nobody is deceiving you and say it doesn't matter. Let not your familiarity, even with disciples and discipleship, make you to think that secret sinning does not matter. Let it not be because you are a leading Bible study or you are a discipleship center leader somewhere, you are misbehaving secretly and say, well, it doesn't matter. You are in charge. You are not in charge. If your life, if your heart is not correct, you are losing your charge. I charge you this morning. He said, why it is day, exhort one another daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today is a special day, a new day that God is opening. Let it not be that someone is sitting, someone is hearing me, and you are still struggling with secret sin. You need to make it right with God. Otherwise, this new dawn will not benefit you. This new dawn will actually cast into a bigger dryness. Now, he said, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Why it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. If you have heard the word of God, today is the day that God has set for you to come into that. Now, go to chapter 4, and I would like to end there. Verse 1 and verse 2 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, and not being mixed with faith in them that had it. For we which have believed, we do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, If they will, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the 7 day on this wise, and God did rest the 7 day. Now, and in this place again, if they shall enter my rest. Now, let me read verse 7. It says, and verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day. God has carved out another day, saying, David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So again, this morning is a new day, a day of a new opportunity, another chance. God is doing something afresh. What we are entering now is not going to end by the grace of God. It's going to be a global move, and I want all of you to mark it. I've been saying it again and again. God has been declaring it. God has been speaking about it. Last year, God said it's Rehoboth. We know it's a new dawn. The other year, God said it's an unstoppable move has begun. So as we move out of this meeting today, this morning, my first request is that all that have listened to his word, let me announce again that a new day has broken. But when the new day breaks, you must not be unaware of what we make for your peace. And the first thing I'm dealing with this morning that will make for your peace, is said, let's give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time they should slip out of our hands. I'd like you to now check, as I'll be asking you to get on your knees or stand on your feet or wherever you are. If you are alone by yourself, you want to kneel down by your chair. If you are in the congregation or in the center where we have gathered, I'd like you to rise on your feet because we are going to be praying. And if you are, wherever you are, I want you to adjust right now because we must pray. This is the day the Lord has made. It's another day the Lord has made. And let me announce to you, is the day of jubilee, is the day of deliverance, is the day that meant another day. Many have been waiting for, people have been crying unto God for it, and this the Lord, as you have kept me alive for this day, for this new dawn, it must not elude me. It will not be said, at least if you have known in this your day, Lord, I want to plead with you this morning that you will help me not to miss my day. When he said this your day, it means it can be your day. It can be the day for you as a person. It can be the day for us as a group. Can be a day for us as people that have been waiting on God. Can be a day for the land in which we stand. If I say, in that same country, where many did not see it, the shepherds saw it. The angels went and saw the shepherd and began to rejoice with them. You are here this day. And in whichever part of the country you are, and whichever nation you are sitting, and whatever else you are doing, I declare to you, this is a day the Lord has made. Will you like to call on God and say, Lord, do not pass me by. Do not allow this day to elude me. The things that make for my peace must not be holding from my eyes. The things that will make me maximize this day I must not miss it. I must not find myself doing something useless, something that does not glorify God, something that does not increase the purpose of God. I must not be found doing that. Please pray, call on God right now. And as you are praying, can you remember anything that the Holy Spirit is putting to you now, that the day of visitation has come. What are you doing with dead works? What are you doing with the contaminating influence? What are you doing with a relationship that will not allow you to be part of it? Can you imagine that just a little time for Judas Iscariot to be confirmed into his bishopric? Only 30 pieces of silver finished him. He went and betrayed the Lord just for a little amount of money. Now he became a useless nonentity. Now he has fallen headlong. Nobody can gather him again. Oh, will you pray and say, Lord, marriage must not be my undoing. Relationship, I know as a young sister, you need to marry. That's okay. Brother, you need to marry, I know. But not in this day of our visitation will you marry wrongly. Not in this day when God wants to move, will your life become a disappointment. It will be too much. It will be a colossal waste. You have been in discipleship. You have been coming from one meeting or the other. You have traveled here. You have traveled there. You have gone here. You have gone there. Now, God is about to do what he says. What is that that will hinder you? What is that secret thing that will not let you go? Or are you there? God has set up this day for your deliverance, for your salvation. People thought that you're already saved. People thought that your life is good. But you know that you are not there yet. You know that you are not in the right place yet. And the Spirit of God is calling on you and said, turn your heart to the Lord now. Turn your heart to the Lord now. Call upon him now. Call upon the Lord now. Open your heart to God as we are praying. I'm going to pray with you, but I want you to take a decision. If you are there in the meeting, wherever you are, whether you are even alone listening by yourself, or you are in your office because you could not take a leave, or you are driving, but you are listening to the word of God, can you park where you are now and say, Lord, this my day, it must not pass me by. Can you personally look at the issues that can hinder you from being what God wants you to be? Can you say to God this morning, please, Father, come deliberate to my life. Do something eternal with me. Break every issue. I must not be a casualty. Look at that brother, Simeon. He had been waiting, waiting, waiting. The day he came, he said, Now let us thy servant depart in peace. Some of you have been waiting. Let it not be that now that it is time, you are not there again. Can you pray and say, Lord, help my life. Do something with me. I want to call on God now to pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for the way you want to move in our day. Thank you because you don't want us to be ignorant of our day of visitation. And thank you for the word of life you are sending to us. Thank you for the various illustrations you have allowed us to see today. Now, Lord, I plead with you that the outworking of your Spirit this morning must not exclude any one of us. I pray, Father, that all those that are listening to your word, who are supposed to enter into a new day, a new dawn for their lives, let none of them be found missing. Let Satan not play a prank on anyone. Let sin not hinder anyone. Let hardened heart, hardness of heart, deceitfulness of sin, disobedience of unbelief, let it not hinder any in responding to you at this critical point in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, as we will be praying together, I ask that as your Spirit is moving from center to center, from heart to heart, from place to place, all those that must make things right in this day, let them not postpone it to another. Let them not miss this day and enter into days of darkness
days of dryness. He said, days are coming when they will build embankment against you. They will levy you down. Left and right, you will be etched in on all sides. Lord, let that not be our portion. This day of our visitation must be our day of liberation, a day of salvation, a day of jubilee, a day that God said, God has anointed me to preach the glad tidings. Holy Spirit, please let that day be our day in the name of Jesus. Now, as we are praying, you have been in the meeting and the Spirit of God has convicted you and you did not intend to miss your day of visitation. You don't want sin to cut you short. You don't want secret compromise, secret failure to finally relocate into the wilderness. You don't want procrastination. There are things that God wanted you to obey Him in, but you have been postponing your obedience. You have been giving excuses for disobedience. This morning, I call on you in the name of Jesus to make your life right with God. And wherever you are, we are not able to see every center yet. But wherever you are, I want you to please lift up your right hand to God. If your heart is saying, Lord, I must not miss my day. I must not become, a casualty. This is the reason why I came into discipleship. This is what my life ought to mean. How can I miss it now? Raise that hand above your head and permit me to call on God for you. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, that sister. Wherever you are, it's important that you take a decision right now. Whichever place God has drawn you, it's time now to say, Lord, I must not miss it. I must not become a shadow of what I'm supposed to be. This new dawn must not pass me by. I must not become a useless nonentity because when I should have taken a decision, I didn't. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Raise that hand above your head. I want to pray for you. And if you are anywhere that you can step out and say, God, I don't want to stand sit again. I don't want the enemy to keep me in that old location again. I'm stepping out for God. I'm stepping out. My life must not remain the same again. God bless you, my friends. God bless you, my brothers. God bless you, my dear sisters. Wherever you are, it's time to make it right with God. And please tell God exactly. Tell Him what is the matter. Explain to Him that this issue must finish now. And the day must break on my life and this issue must be broken. This addiction has to go. This secret failure of my life must finish. Lord Jesus, shine your light upon me today. Shine your light upon my life. Shine your light upon my path. Heal me of my backsliding. Heal me of my secret failure. Heal me, O God, of all the traps that the devil set for my feet. Today, O God, I must join the overcomers. I must become one among those who will sink. You see, the shepherds, they came, they were singing. They said, look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. God has visited all peoples. Oh, please pray and say, for me also, I must be part of the people that will celebrate that God has visited me in this day. Thank you very much as I pray for you right now. If your hands are still stretched before God, please stretch it where I'm praying for you. Father, this morning, I plead for your children everywhere, in different locations, in different centers, in different countries, who have gathered, and some that are just by their bedside, others are sitting by their table, but they are stretching their hand to you because you are God who answers prayer. I ask that today, you will step into their case now. I ask that the blood of Jesus will speak on their behalf. I ask that the power of sin be broken and the tyranny of Mr. Flesh, let it be cut short. From this morning, O God, let there be a fresh visitation. As you have been declaring as a new day, it's a new dawn. Lord, I ask that there will be a newness of life, a newness of heart, a newness of spirit. Say, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away from you the heart of stone. Father, let this newness begin now. Let this new move of your spirit begin now. Let a new touch, a fresh touch of your power, let it come now. Let the glory of the Lord break forth upon these people. Each one of them, as they are standing with their hands lifted to heaven, Lord, put your hand in their hands. Lord, I ask you to put your hand in their hands. And from this morning, let there be a deep walk of grace. Let Jesus step into their cases and turn their story around. Those that have been sick because of sin, we release them now in the name of Jesus. Those, O God, who have been retarded, they should have gone forward, but this addiction cut them short. This morning, Father, break the yoke. Break the yoke and give them a new story in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing us. Lord, as we give opportunity for cancer, as we give opportunity for praying together with them, I ask that the spirit of truth will work now. I ask that God will be established and they will move on in this new day that you have declared open unto us. Thank you. And Satan, I charge you this moment. Pack your load and go. In the name of Jesus. All that you have done to decimate the people of God, all that you have done to reduce their life unto emptiness, all that you have done to puncture their faith and to make it flat, this morning the Lord rebukes you. Take up your hand in the name of Jesus. We are rising now. We are rising now. We are going back to our Father. We are going back to our Savior. We are going back to Him who is able to keep us, who is able to enable us to stand. The Lord rebukes your activity in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are grateful to you for answering this prayer. We know, Lord, is a beginning. And as this meeting builds up, O God, you'll be giving us clear instructions what to do at our new day. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Thank you.